Welcome to the Art of Mathematics. I'm Carol Jacoby, and joining us once again is Brian Katz. Welcome, Brian. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And I understand you want to say something about music, and usually I'll start off by asking you questions, but I think you have questions to ask me. So I have no idea what's going to happen, so let's just go with it.
All right, excellent. So the first question for you, Carol, is how do vowels work?
How do vowels work?
Yeah.
You open your mouth and they come out.
Yeah. So sometimes when I ask students about that, they'll tell me like, a, e, o, u, and that's sort of like from a linguistics perspective. And sometimes more like what you've done, they tell me, oh, it's something about the shape of your mouth, which is absolutely true. So a slightly more focused version of the question is, what are you perceiving when you're perceiving a vowel? How does your brain get the information of which vowel my face is making? Right? It's a hard question.
It is a hard question.
It's definitely not sight.
Right.
You can see me, but our listeners cannot see me. I can even cover my mouth. You can still tell the difference.
Yes.
Between my vowels. So it can't be sight. And sometimes people say something like pitch. The problem with that is, all of those sound like ah, but they're different pitches. And similarly, are all the same pitch, but different vowels.
Different vowels.
So it can't be just that. And the sort of the key observation here, which is where the mathematics comes in, is it turns out that what we're perceiving is actually a bunch of sounds together. But you might be familiar with another word. So in common language, when we just mean like a bunch of sounds thrown together, we usually call it noise. And you might have heard of certain kinds of noise for various reasons. Audio engineers and physicists are interested in certain kinds of noise. White noise is a special kind of noise when you sort of have every pitch, but the sort of the same level of every pitch. Now, anytime you say the things are the same, well, by what metric? So you could mean the same energy level for each pitch, or you could mean the same intensity level, which turns out to be different. You could mean perceptually for humans experienced as the same. And those all produce different sort of kinds of noise. You might have heard of white noise. Sometimes there's brown noise, which is sometimes also called red noise, even pink noise, that have to do with sort of different levels of whether the sounds are all the same or whether they die off either to the high or to the low or in the middle or on the ends kinds of sounds. But in some sense, that version of noise is the opposite of what a vowel is, right? You don't get clear communication information from that. So we actually have to look at it a little bit differently. And so this next little chunk involves a little bit of calculus, but you don't need calculus to follow what we're about to say. So the very simplest thing that makes noise for most people is a vibrating string. Are you okay with us talking about vibrating strings?
Vibrating string. That's good. Yeah.
Excellent. One way to study the vibrations of a string is what's called the wave equation that governs how it will vibrate. And the wave equation basically says that the curviness of the string is proportional to how quickly the string is accelerating or how much force there is on the string to change its position. And it turns out that's enough information to figure out how lots of things should vibrate, in particular a one-dimensional string. For those of you who know some calculus, the equation is that the partial derivative of the string's position with respect to time is a scalar multiple of the partial derivative of the string's position with respect to the position along the string. How curvy versus the acceleration. And wonderfully, that turns out to be enough to fix our problem here. So there's a little bit of calculus involved. So we have to find something that solves this equation. We're looking for solutions to this equation. This equation has derivatives in it. It has some calculus in it. So it's called a differential equation, or in this case, it's called a partial differential equation, but we can ignore that. If you know a little bit of calculus, you might know some functions that don't change a whole lot when you take two derivatives. So if you've taken some calculus, you might know, say, the power. So x cubed is a function. The derivative of x cubed is 3x squared. And the derivative of that is 6x. So we went from a degree three polynomial down to a degree one polynomial. We went from something wiggly to something straight. Those are quite different from each other. But if you're familiar with trigonometry and exponential functions, the derivative of sine is cosine, and the derivative of cosine is negative sine. So two derivatives from sine is just negative sine, i.e. all it did would spit out a negative sign. And as a result, it is barely changed. So we could use symbols and do a bunch more technical work here to find out that these sort of sine and cosine functions are solutions to the wave equation, which is great because that's how we think of vibrating strings, like those kinds of waves. But because the string can vibrate in time, but because in space, the end of the string is held in place, like on the end of a guitar, that means that when you plug in sort of the end values, it can't be moving. And you can only get waves that fit fully in the length of the string. So you get the biggest wave that's one full thing. You get the next wave that's two waves that fit in there. The next one that's three waves that fit in there. And you only get integer multiples of the frequency. So now, rather than white noise, where we get every sound possible all at the same level, when we have a vibrating string, we get only integer multiples of a particular sound. And that contains a lot more information, and that's why it can be used for communication. So we went from something sort of like continuous to something discrete magically. A language does this in lots of other ways and really cool kinds of things. So we realized that vibrating strings produce integer multiple frequencies rather than white noise, but we want to try to hear that. So let's do some music. Sound good?
Sounds good. Yeah, music. Great.
So I'm going to pick up my guitar. Sorry if there's yowling in the background. The cats don't like music.
What's wrong with your cats?
I don't know. I think they think when I sing, I'm yelling at them, which is sad. So I'm going to play a guitar. I'm going to play the highest string on the guitar, and it's going to make a sound. Sadly, due to the medium of Zoom and other podcast issues, we had a little technical issue recording our sound. So I'm just going to try to tell you some of the things you could try at home. So one is with a guitar. If you pluck a string, it gives you a sound. If you press it hard in the middle, usually noted with some dots on the neck of the guitar, it gives you a higher pitch that feels the same, which is called an octave. But now if you lightly touch that string and pluck it and let go, it still sounds like the higher pitch. To me, that indicates that the higher note was always there, even though we thought of it as the lower sounding note. Similarly, if you have a flute or some other instrument like that, you can play a pitch and you can blow the air faster over it to get a higher pitch. You can also do this with like a 20-ounce bottle of soda. I don't know if you've ever blown over the top of it and then blown faster and got a higher pitch. You can do it by putting your thumb on the end of a straw and blowing on the end of it and blowing faster, and you can get a higher pitch. And you can also do it with whistling, where you keep your mouth in the same place, but you blow the air faster and you can get a super high whistle note. And to me, that indicates that all of the pitches were there all along. And we can't demonstrate it here, but it turns out that across all of these things, it's not just integer multiples, it sounds the same. And if you were to put all of the notes together that it sounds like, they would make something that's familiar from rock music. It's familiar from all music, but to American audiences, it's probably most familiar to rock music. I'll try my voice here. Bum, 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 bum. It's called the dominant seventh chord. Those are sort of the first few pitches you hear, and they're much higher usually. And so it indicates that it's the same thing going across all of these situations. And that's really exciting, but that's not quite enough for us to hear this with the voice. So the last thing I'm going to encourage you to try to do is to maybe go to a bathroom or a stairwell where things feel really echoey. And I want you to hum a note, and then I want you to keep changing your vowel. If you do this, you can start to hear it. In fact, why don't we put, I have a bunch of links for you that we can put in the show notes, where you can hear examples of this on YouTube. One of them is from a Tuvan performing group called Alash. that uses tuba and throat singing. That's a style of this. One of them is a polyphonic singer, but called Anna Maria Hefele. And with hers, you can see an analysis of the audio spectrum. So that thing we were talking about, the white noise, you can see it. And then the last one is just a guy in a echoey room, like what I'm suggesting, doing the changing, and you can hear what it ought to have sounded like. I'm sorry we can't demonstrate it through the podcast, but I hope you get this experience. And sort of the takeaway at the end is that math helps us understand sound, which helps us understand communication. I think that's really fun.
Thank you so much, Brian. It really is fun. And those notes will be on the artofmathematicspodcast.com. So be sure to look at those and check those out. And I apologize that we don't have the audio quality to help you listen to all the things that he went through. I got to listen to it, well, a little bit. So try it out yourself and check those out. Thanks so much, Brian. Really enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. You're always a lot of fun to talk to.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to share on the air or a suggestion for a guest for a future show, leave a message at anchor.fm/theartofmathematics with hyphens, or email me at cjacoby@jacobyconsulting.com. And if you'd like to learn how to get answers from data, check out my class at excelfordecisionmakers.com. See you next month. Thanks for listening.